You are listening to Confronting the Pipe Dream, voices on the front lines of resistance against pipelines. Confronting the Pipe Dream is a grassroots radio project which seeks to unite voices across colonial borders and bring those voices from the front lines to the foreground. As pipelines continue to expand, so does people's resistance. If we're going to stop the flows of oil and gas that are threatening our communities, we need to first open the airwaves. On today's program, we'll hear an interview with Frida Hewson.
Well, my people have been on these territories for thousands of years until about 100 years ago when the government forced our people off these lands and put us on reservations. And probably just about 4 years ago, my generation has stood up and just said, no more.
Frida is the spokesperson for the Unist'ot'en Camp on unceded Wet'suwet'en territory in northern so-called British Columbia. Since July 2010, the Unist'ot'en clan of the Wet'suwet'en First Nation have been successfully blockading 7 oil and gas pipelines from encroaching on their traditional territories. So just to start, can you tell me your name and the nation that you're from?
I'm Frida Hewson from the Unist'ot'en.
We're, of course, here at the Unist'ot'en Action Camp. So can you tell us first a little bit about this camp and what people are doing here?
Well, this was formed like 4 years ago from my clan, because when we first started resisting all the destruction from industry on the lands, we didn't know the first thing on how to do anything. So at the first camp, we applied to some NGOs, they approached us and see if we wanted to host a camp so that they can. We invited people like the Ruckus Society and IEN and Council of Canadians, and all these people are experienced in resistance and doing demonstrations and whatnot, so they all came up and assisted us in doing the first camp, and since then we've been running them every year just so we can also educate ourselves and others by sharing stories and sharing experiences, what worked, what didn't work, just so we can help each other in our struggles. Mm.
And so there's quite a few oil and gas pipelines that are proposed to come through the Wet'suwet'en territory. Can you talk a little bit about what kind of an impact those pipelines could have if they did come through?
Well, first of all, they're not going to have an impact because they're not coming through on our territory. And there's Coastal GasLink, Pacific Trails Pipeline, and Enbridge. The Coastal GasLink and Pacific Trails are frack gas, and they're selling it to the Indigenous communities here as natural gas, clean gas, and it's not so. It's frack gas that's coming from Peace River and Fort Nelson area, and that they're proposing to come up through Wet'suwet'en territory, through Burns Lake, all the way into Kitimat, to the LNG plants, and they're proposing to ship that off to Asia. And then there's also Enbridge, and they're planning the exact same route.
Can you talk a little bit about your relationship to this land and this space we're on? And of course, it's important to defend that. And yeah, maybe just talk a little bit about that.
Well, my people have been on these territories for thousands of years until about 100 years ago when the government forced our people off these lands and put us on reservations. And probably just about 4 years ago, my generation has stood up and just said, no more. There's too much destruction happening out here, because we grew up on these lands coming out all the time. And we just, every time we came out, we saw more and more destruction. And we sat down with our chiefs and said, we can't just sit by anymore and just let them continue to destroy the lands. There'll be nothing left for our children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And we found out about the pipelines and which route they're planning to go, and found out they were trying to propose to go underneath Wet'suwet'en, which is Morris River in the English words, and under Gosnell Creek, where our salmon spawn. And the salmon spawn in Gosnell, and the Gosnell flows into the Morris River, and Morris River flows down into the Buckley and the Skeena. And we usually fish our salmon in the Buckley, so it'll impact the salmon, and I'm pretty sure everybody in the north relies on the salmon.
I mean, since you've put up the blockades, has there been any repression from the police or from industry coming here?
Well, 2 years ago, the Apache and Chevron, who owns the Pacific Trails Pipeline, they're a 50-50 partner, They tried to fly in their drill equipment, and we got word about it, so we sent two people out and blocked them and got them to remove their equipment. Told them they were trespassing and you don't have permission to be here, so they did take all the equipment out, and then just this past November, they tried to send in their surveyors again, and they were evicted out of here.
In terms of police, have there been police coming by here?
Yeah, we had RCMP Special Services, I think they're called. They weren't in their clothing. I forget what you call them.
Plain clothes
officers showed up here, and they were parked, and we had my stepdaughter was down there doing the protocol, and they refused the kid out of the vehicle, and they were being quite rude, so she called me down, and when I went down, they were unwilling to get out of the vehicles, and they had a person with a camera on the front seat, and we had a camera crew behind us, so we asked them to get out and come to do protocol, and they said, no, one of you come over here, and we told them, no, you come over here, and finally I just said, who's your leader? And the guy says, we're just a driver. And he turns around and tells the two guys, and they come out and they were telling us, you can't have this blockade. This is a public road. And I said, this is not a public road. This is our territory. We've never ceded or surrendered it. You show me the documents of where we sold this. Where are your papers to say that you bought this off us? We didn't sell it. This is our lands.
And yeah, maybe can you talk a little bit about more about the free, prior, and informed consent protocol? Because that's something that I think is interesting. I never experienced that. And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my people used to do that for thousands of years until about 100 years ago, like I said, when they put our people on the reservations. But our people always, like back in the day when they didn't speak English and stuff, a warning shot was fired in the air. And the person coming in needed to have consent before they crossed. Like they would fire off a warning, and if the person tried to cross without consent, they were shot right on the spot. But in this past while, we started to resurrect the free, prior, informed consent, and the questions we ask are: who are you? Where are you from? Why are you here? How long do you plan to stay if we let you in? Do you work for industry or government that's destroying our lands? And what kind of skills do you bring? And how will your visit benefit my people? And if they can successfully answer those questions, they may be permitted in. And if not, they're usually turned away.
And I'm wondering too, there's been this struggle against pipelines in the last few years. And maybe just looking back through history, either through recent history or going far back, has your community had to resist other kinds of colonial interventions, such as pipelines, or have there been other big struggles like this?
Before, we had a lot of big struggles against logging. We had blockaded several times because their industry wasn't listening and they were overtaking. And just the last recent one, the Luxilya clan, which is not my clan, another clan in the Wet'suwet'en, they blockaded Camp 4 from coming into a sacred area that they were trying to log because they wouldn't listen to them and they didn't have their consent. And Camp 4 did a court injunction on them and took them to court, and these indigenous people won. So that's called the Red Top case. Mm. And probably about 3 years ago, we were up against an exploration company that was trying to explore in another territory where the only place we can still fish char salmon. And they ended up sending in an exploration crew and set it up camp without our permission, and we ended up evicting them. Came in on probably a Monday, and I told them to give you till Friday to remove all your stuff, or this stuff belongs to us, you're trespassing. And they did end up moving their things out. So. And then because of this struggle with the pipelines, we haven't been able to follow up and see what's happening in the other territory. And I heard a lot of logging has happened out there. And now I heard Lionsgate Metals sold the mineral rights to a Chinese company. And we haven't been able to follow up and find out who this company is now that is trying to come into our territory again. So we have too many struggles. We have to pick our battles. And the pipelines is the more prominent one where permits are being issued, why we're focusing on this one right now.
Recently, the BC government I think they said they were going to oppose the Enbridge pipeline. And I'm wondering, what's your reaction to that?
To me, they're just all just talk. I don't believe anything the government says. They make all these empty promises and they do exactly the opposite of what they say. And based on how Christy Clark's been talking and pro-pipelines and saying this is going to get them out of deficit, because we know for a fact that the BC government is in a huge deficit, and this pipeline project is not even going to put a dent in their, what they owe, so they can't put that false words out there saying that this is going to help them.
And lastly, pipelines are an issue that are affecting so many people across Turtle Island. What would your message be to people listening to this and to supporters out there who want to support the Wet'suwet'en people in the struggle against pipelines?
Well, my message would be to go to hunasdaten.com. We have a website, and also there's Line 9, and there's the, what is the one in the States?
Oh, Keystone.
Keystone. There's several pipelines all coming from the tar sands. And if they increase production in tar sands, which is, the tar sands is already the second highest contributor to the global warming and toxins in our environment that is killing our environment. And if they increased, if they were successful in getting the Northern Gateway, Keystone, and Line 9, it's going to increase the production there and increase the environmental damage, and it's going to impact everybody in the world. And it's everybody's responsibility to stand up and do something about it. It can't be about the money anymore. You can't eat money. You're destroying all our waterways, and all of us rely on water. And if you kill all our water systems, we are going to all die. The earth will survive, and maybe 100,000 years it'll replenish itself, but we as humans cannot survive without that water. So people need to get their act together and stop running this economic wheel and forgetting about Mother Earth, who actually needs to keep us alive. People have forgotten about that and are all about the money now.
We just heard an interview with Frida Hewson, the spokesperson for the Unist'ot'en camp on unceded Wet'suwet'en territory. For more information, check out www.unist'ot'encamp.com. You've been listening to Confronting the Pipe Dream, voices on the front lines of resistance against pipelines. This project is supported by the Media Co-op and Cupid McGill. Original music brought to you by One Speed Bike. For more information on this series, please contact confrontingthepipedream@riseup.net. And be sure to check out our website at www.confrontingthepipedream.com.